Okay, now, Luke chapter 24, we'll have this message today and possibly one or two messages left, and then we'll be through with the gospel given by Luke. And we've been studying in Luke for 3 years plus 4 months, so it's been a while, but it goes by quickly, doesn't it? But it's been such a time of refreshing. We've been through John twice, Matthew twice, Mark once, and now Luke. So, and you have to combine all four together, all four records together, to get the complete story for us. Now, I'm titling the message "Heartburn." Heartburn. You can remember that title, can't you? Heartburn. Heartburn. From verse 32, you remember what they said one to another when the Lord revealed himself unto them and opened their eyes and opened their understanding? Did not, they said, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scripture. You know, heartburn is something very noticeable. You ever get that condition when you eat things you shouldn't and you get heartburn? It's something that's very noticeable. You take note of it. And that's what happens when God is pleased to warm our heart with the word of truth. Our heart is warmed. Our affections are warmed. Our affections are stirred up to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heartburn. These two men who were so privileged and blessed to have this special meeting with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said this is one of the 11 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Now, I would have loved to have been there that day, but through the written word, we are reading exactly what they experienced. So I'm going to take you this morning on that 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus as these two men talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know beyond all doubt that he's raised up from the dead and seated in glory. There right now, there's a God-man in glory who is our mediator, our intercessor, our advocate. We have one God and one mediator between God and men, that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lived to intercede for us. Our Lord said this in John 14, before he went to the cross, he said, because I live, this is even before he died, he declares, because I live, you shall live also. Now what we have here in Luke 24 is only given by the writer whose name is Luke. In Mark 16:12, there's a brief mention of the two men that he appeared unto, but only here in Luke 24 do we have the full story of what took place this day and given to us in real intimate, exact detail. I mean, they said, the Lord came home with us and he broke bread and he blessed it, and he gave it to us. That's pretty good detail, is it not? And all of this is given not to entertain us. This unique story is given unto us to show us the gospel of Christ. There is much we can glean from this and learn from this special appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of these two men is mentioned and named in verse 18, one of them whose name was Cleophas. In John 19:25, he was the husband of one of those women named Mary who stood at the cross. She's identified as the wife of Cleophas. Some think that Luke was the other person here that's not named, but rather he writes by inspiration upon this occasion. Now, here's what we want to do. As my practice has been for these many years that I've been here, is to, when we read a portion of Scripture, is to glean gospel nuggets and gospel thoughts from the Word of God. All this Word is given unto us to preach the gospel. And we can certainly use this portion of Scripture, as in all Scripture, to preach the gospel. Now, verse 13, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is about 63 furlongs, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, while they talked together, reasoned together, the Lord himself drew near with them, but their eyes were beholden that they did not know him. Now, the Lord in his sovereign power, the Lord in his sovereign mercy, withheld his identity until a time that it pleased him. Sunday afternoon, these two men headed for home to their village, to Emmaus. And as they walked along and talked of all the things they'd experienced, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I love that statement. I've got a sermon that I've preached several times, and the title of it is Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself drew near with them. Now, what a blessed thought. As believers in our journey here, we can be assured the Lord is always with us, especially when we meet together as an assembly of believers. He said, and he had promised us, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. Is the Lord among us? If we've gathered in his name, the Lord is among us. He assures us in Matthew 28, before he ascended to glory, he said, lo, he said, you go and preach the gospel to every creature, and remember this, lo, I'm with you always, wherever you go in this world. Our Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, no, not ever. The Lord is always with us. Notice something else. In verse 16, the Lord is sovereign in his power, and to keep his identity hidden at first, their eyes were holden. That is, they did not know him. And he did this that he might freely talk with them and draw out the thoughts of their heart. And we can learn from that, the Lord withheld himself from them knowing him, and we can glean from that the Lord is sovereign in revelation. He'll have mercy upon whom he will, when he will, with whom he will, as it pleases him. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. He reveals himself to some, and to others, they have no revelation of the Lord. Now, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 17, 18, and 19, the Lord asked two questions. He said to them, what manner of conversation or communications are these that you have one to another? And they said to him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what's been taking place? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? They're really accusing him of being ignorant, being unknowing of what great events had taken place. And he said to them, what? What thing? What are you talking about? Now, the Lord never asks us questions to find out information because he knows all things. I'll give you a good example of that. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God and tried to hide and run from God, took fig leaf apron to try to hide themselves from God, and God came forth that day and said, Adam, where are you? Now, God knew exactly where Adam was, but the Lord asked questions to reveal our heart unto him and to others. The Lord never asks a question to receive information, for he knows all things. He knows the thoughts and the intent of our heart. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows all things known under God for all of his work from the beginning. He knows our down sitting. He knows our uprising. There's nothing hid from him. He knows our thoughts afar off. But rather the Lord asks questions that we might fully reveal ourselves and tell out our heart. He said in verse 18 or verse 19, what things? And they said unto him, what things? It gives them opportunity to declare unto us everything that the Lord had taught them. He pretends he has no understanding of the recent events, when in reality, he is the event. He is the event. All things that happen in this life are ordered of God in your life and in mine. In the life of every believer, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. Now, I love their answer. I love what they say. They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. Remember, they said, we have no king but Caesar, crucify him. And they did. Verse 21, but we trusted. We trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today's the third day. All these things were done. Certain women, also of our company, were astonished, which are early at the grave. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels. And he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so the women had said, but they saw him not. Now, Mary did, and others, but for the most part, they did not see him. Now, I love what they said here concerning Jesus of Nazareth. You remember in Romans chapter 1 when Paul says that he's a servant of God, separated unto the gospel of God, and then he said, concerning what the gospel of God all about? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How he was made of the son of David, but declared to be the son of God by resurrection, by his resurrection glory. The gospel, therefore, is all about concerning the person and redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. They immediately said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. Now, let's look at that statement. He is a prophet, the prophet of God, mighty indeed, mighty in word. For his works declare that he is God. He is that prophet, priest and king. He is that prophet, fulfilling what is said in Deuteronomy 18, where God said to Moses, I will raise up a prophet from among the brethren, and he was of the tribe of Judah, house of David. Like unto thee, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. The Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet of God who tells us the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is that prophet of God who is mighty indeed. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, sent his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told them to ask this question, are you the Christ or do we look for another? And the Lord said, you go back and you tell John this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and he blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The mighty works that the Lord Jesus Christ did give witness and full proof that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ of God. He is mighty in deed as a prophet of God. And as a prophet of God, he's mighty in word. He's mighty in word, is he not? Listen to this scripture. Never man spake like that man. You remember? The Pharisees sent servants out to arrest him. And when they came to arrest him, they couldn't touch him. And they came back and they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" They said, "Never man spake like that man. For his words were with power." You see, he speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. He speaks and the waves are stilled. He speaks and dead men live. He speaks and devils are cast out. He speaks and all creation is born and sustained by the word of his power. He is the creator. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. His words are the mighty word of truth. He is the truth of God. He is the prophet of God, mighty in deed and mighty in word. Now, verse 20 declares, these two men declare, the chief priests, the religious crowd, and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. They wanted no part of his ministry. They wanted no part of him. They accused him of being a devil, a demon spirit. They accused him of being a winebibber and a gluttonous man. The Lord Jesus Christ told them the truth and they wouldn't have it. They said, "We be Abraham's children." Remember what the Lord said to them? "You're not of Abraham's children. You're of your father, the devil." And they hated him. They hated his word. They hated his truth. The chief priest, our ruler, delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But never forget this. Even though they betrayed the Lord and they desired him to die a horrible, brutal death that was reserved for the most wicked men, the Lord himself said, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Yes, they delivered him up, but they only did what God determined before to be done. He died for our sins according to the scripture, "No man takes my life. I lay it down." He bare our sin in his own body on the tree as he suffers under the weight of our sin, under the holy wrath and judgment of God for our sin. Read on, look at verse 21. They said, "We trusted. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." He did. He redeemed, notice, he redeemed Israel. They believed in particular redemption. They believed in death and atonement. They didn't say, "We believe that he atoned for all the sin of all men." The messenger from heaven said, "Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin." He is the Redeemer who redeemed Israel, God's elect, from all their sin. And that's to whom we look, is it not? We trusted him to be our Redeemer. We not only look to him as God's prophet, we trust him as our Redeemer, as God our Savior. He is the Redeemer of his people. He obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. None can perish for whom he redeemed. He said, "All that the Father hath given to me, they'll come to me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." Read on, verse 22, 23, and 24. The women said that he was raised up from the dead, and they heard their testimony. You remember back in verse 11 and verse 12, when the women came to the apostles and told them these things, verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come. He said down in verse 25 of Luke 24, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, let's begin there at verse 25. Here we see the Lord gently rebukes them out of love and appears to preach to them the gospel of Christ and to reveal himself unto them. Now, he draws near unto them on purpose. For what purpose? To reveal himself unto them through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, old fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What is being slow of heart? Being slow of heart to believe. What is that? Unbelief. Unbelief. Lord, we do believe. Help thou my unbelief. How prone this flesh is to believe a lie and reject the truth. Those women told those men the truth. He's risen. And they would not believe. Oh, fool, slow of heart. The carnal, natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. He must take us and reveal them unto us. Someone said, I got this somewhere, I don't remember where. The world of unbelievers, the world of the ungodly, calls us fools for believing the gospel. The Lord calls us fools for not believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought of this scripture sitting there a moment ago in Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's an article in the bulletin by John Chapman on that subject about the fool. Don't look at it now. You can look at it later. Saving faith, when given quickly, saving faith, when it's given quickly and readily receives and loves and embraces the truth of the gospel. When faith is given and when the word is preached and God blesses that with the Spirit of truth, it's revealed unto us quickly. And we respond to the truth and we receive the truth. All the word of God. The apostle said this, Acts 24, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God. Remember our Lord said, you are they which search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. A believing heart believes all the word of God. From Genesis all the way through to Revelation. We believe all things written in the word of God. That's what saving faith does. We receive the word of truth not as it is the word of men. When we read Paul or John or Peter or Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, we receive these things as it is the word of God, the word of truth. Now look what our Lord said here in verse 26. Ought not Christ, the Christ of God, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ must die for our sin. His suffering unto death were appointed of God as the sacrifice for our sin. Without his sacrifice, without his death, without the shedding of his blood, we have no remission of sin. Thank God he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Thank God he, one by one sacrifice, suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. Not only was his sacrifice appointed of God, but also his resurrection glory and his enthronement, where he's seated on the right hand of God. He's seated because the work is done, it's finished. Now, look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. Now, This was a 2 or 3 or 4 hour sermon that the Lord preached to them. And we could go all the way back to Genesis and go all the way through the Word of God and preach the gospel, the Old Testament. Now, this is one of the most amazing scriptures to me, found in the book of Luke. He says again in this same chapter, verse 44, he said unto them, when he appeared to the 11 and the others, these are the words which I spake unto you while I yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the psalm concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, all nations, and beginning at Jerusalem, you're witnesses of these things. They went and preached what they knew. The Lord is risen. Now the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel to them. Those two men, as they walked along that Sunday afternoon until evening. He started at the book of Genesis and preached all the way through Malachi. 3 or 4 hours. He preached to them the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the complete and total fulfillment of every Old Testament shadow, picture, and type. He is that prophet like Moses. He is that priest like Aaron, but oh, so much greater. He is that prophet like Moses, but oh, so much greater. He is a king like David, but the greater David hath appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of every shadow, type, and picture of the Old Testament scripture. We talk about instituted type. He's the fulfillment of the Passover, the atonement. Providential types, the manna from heaven, the smitten rock, all speak of Christ. Personal types. I love personal types of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all those things revealed in the scripture. If we begin at the book of Genesis, in Genesis 3:15, he is a fulfillment of the woman's seed that crushed the serpent's head. He's the fulfillment of it. We read in Hebrews 2:14, through death he destroyed him that brought sin and death. That is, he put away our sin and conquered Satan. He is the woman's seed that crushed sin's dominion. In the book of Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In the book of Leviticus, Christ is our atonement for our sin and the mercy seat. And we know the Lord said here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and caused himself to be the sacrifice for our sin. In Exodus, in Genesis, in Leviticus, in the book of Numbers, Christ is the brazen serpent lifted up. Remember the Lord said in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So you can go all the way through those 5 books of Moses and preach Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord Jesus Christ is the city of refuge. Those 6 cities that we've studied about. All the way through, Christ, Christ, Christ. He said, come unto me and rest. All you labor and heavy laden, come to me and rest. He's our refuge. In the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That's what we see, a revelation of Christ. The message of both Testaments, old and new, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice, I never say, let's turn in the Old Testament. I just say, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. So we have just one message, 2 testaments, old and new, but one message. Therefore, we can say the book of God is all about him. He took all the scriptures, Old Testament, that he had in that day, in the prophets and in the psalm, and he preached the gospel to them. Now, in conclusion, verse 28, and they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would travel on and leave them in the village. But they constrained him. They wanted to hear more of this message, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. he went home with them. And it came to pass, as they sat down at meat, he sat down at meat with them. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them. May the Lord be pleased to do that. Break the bread of life and give it unto us. And their eyes were opened. That is, he opened their eyes. He opened their understanding. And they knew him. They knew him before, but now they know him better. And they know the one they talk to is the Lord himself. And he vanished out of sight. That is, he walked out of the house. He didn't disappear. He was a man of flesh and bones. He walked out. He ceased to be in their presence. Now, verse 33. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the word of the Lord? Now, these two men had such a special sermon preached to them by the Prince of Preachers, the Lord Jesus. And in the preaching of the gospel, their understanding was opened. God enlightened their eyes. And they had a blessed special revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. And they suffered this delightful symptom of spiritual heartburn. Their cold spirit was truly warmed and renewed by the word of the Lord. Remember before he said of them, "Oh, slow of heart." Now their hearts warmed up. They're no longer cold hearted. Now their hearts warmed up. Their heart now burned with passion and love and reverence and adoration of him and faith in him, and they wanted to hear more. So it is with us today. When we hear the message of the word of the Lord concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, and when blessed by the Spirit of God to our heart, doesn't our heart burn within us? Aren't we warmed when we hear of these the blessedness we have of the gospel? For example, when we hear of the full forgiveness of our sin, what does that do for you? That warms my heart. That enlightens my countenance. When we hear the full forgiveness of sin, how our heart burns within us in thanksgiving, adoration, and gratitude unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. When we hear of his blessed righteousness freely imputed unto us by his free grace. Righteousness. How righteous do you have to be to stand before God? Perfect as God. How can that be? Only in Christ our righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work. Doesn't our heart burn within us when we think of the Lord being our righteousness before God? Justified freely by his grace. When we hear this, salvation's of the Lord, that he saved us by his grace. Yes, we're sorry, rotten, guilty, vile sinners, but he saved us by his grace. Doesn't that warm our heart? Doesn't that help us along the way? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. When we hear of Christ being made unto us all that we need now and forever, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Doesn't our heart burn within us with gladness that our God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through and by the Lord Jesus Christ? To him be all the honor and glory both now and forever. If you have a pencil and like to make notes, by verse 32 there, pencil in Jeremiah 20 verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Don't turn there, and we won't turn, but I'll tell you what it says. When Jeremiah was preaching the gospel of God, and when he was persecuted so heavily for preaching the gospel, he said to the Lord, "I'm done. I'm going to quit the ministry. I'm not preaching anymore." That's what Jeremiah said. Here's what verse 9 says, Jeremiah 20. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bone, and I couldn't shut up. He wanted to quit, but he couldn't. The Word of God was like a burning fire in his heart. He had to preach Christ. And then David said this, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire." When I was musing or meditating on the Word, the fire burned. "Then I spake with my tongue." You see, Paul said, "We have believed, therefore we speak the truth." Now, our prayer and my prayer for us, may God be pleased to do that even now, to open our eyes, to enlighten our understanding, and to warm our hearts with faith in believing God and Christ as God our Savior. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know why it is? The man without faith is a man without Christ. The man without Christ is a man without forgiveness, without salvation. May God grant us faith that our heart may be warmed, enlivened, made new, brought again from the dead, and given life in Christ Jesus.